Hello, welcome back to Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. So this week's episode is about trusting the process. But before we jump in, just FYI, today is the 16th of... bless me, excuse me, 16th of September. So the half marathon is on the 24th. And as you just heard, I sneeze. I do have a head cold. And I am a bit worried. Today is Tuesday. The half marathon is Sunday. So hopefully it will be shifted and gone by then. But typical, absolutely typical. But look, we move. I went to the chemist, got myself some Lemsip, Sudafed, Strepsils. My throat is just a bit scratchy and I've just been sneezing. It feels a little bit like hay fever, that type of head cold. But look, hopefully in a few days it will be gone. I'm just glad it's not like a chest infection or like the flu or something like that, because that's the type of shit that wipes you out for a week. But anyway, today is the 16th of September, and on the 6th of October, my 8-week challenge is back, my in-app 8-week challenge. So I do it within my app. Basically, what does it entail? So you get your food, your meal plan, obviously based on foods that you like and dislike. And, you know, you can apply allergies as well to when you're signing up, you select what ingredients you don't like. If you have any allergies, there's vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, sorry, I don't have it in front of me now, low carb as well, etc. And yeah, there's kind of something for everyone when it comes to the meal plan. I will be adding new recipes as well, very similar to the ones that I upload on social media. And yes, you get your meal plan, and that will change every 4 weeks. So it's an 8-week challenge, starts October 6th. You also get your workout program. You can train from home or in the gym, and that will change every 4 weeks as well. You will get a check-in with me every Wednesday. Let's just say the check-in day is Wednesday. It has been for the last two challenges. I can't see it changing, to be honest. A written check-in for me. So there's a private chat feature within the app, and I'll give you feedback. I'll have a look. You will fill out a consult form. Our check-in form, you'll fill it in every Tuesday evening. I look at it Wednesday morning and I give you feedback based on what you've told me. And then also, my favourite part of the challenge is there's a group call every Monday evening at around 8 o'clock, and that's been the same as well for each challenge. It's always been on the Monday evening around 8. It does be about 40 minutes, but each week I educate you on, you know, something within the fitness and nutrition, in regards to fitness and nutrition. So, you know, menstrual cycle, belly fat, designing your own gym program, how to maintain your progress, what happens if you go over your calories, how to eat out in a calorie deficit. And also then there's the chance to like ask me anything at the end. So that's my favorite part of it. But yeah, if you're on my mailing list, you will get an email. Like, the spots aren't open yet. You will get an email when spots do open. Okay, so the link is underneath my profile page on my Instagram, Coach Enya page. Click on that, sign up to my mailing list, and you will get an email probably around the last week of September or the start of October to let you know when spots are open. Okay. But how is my current diet going? So I'm not in a calorie deficit anymore, obviously. But yeah, I've been really enjoying eating more food now. I'm up at around 1900 calories, 10,000 steps a day. And I do about 4 hours of cardio over across the week. So that's not 4 hours of cardio a day. It's literally 4 hours of cardio across the week, because I do 3 runs a week. And that is my cardio now. I don't really do the Stairmaster or anything anymore, because I run, you know, I don't really need to. When I was in a calorie deficit, I probably threw in an extra Stairmaster session, one or two of those, as well as my runs. But, you know, my long runs now, especially coming up to the marathon, like, they're literally an hour and a half to 2 hours long. Like, I'm doing the half marathon this weekend. It's going to be a 2 hour run. And then I do about a 50 minute run in the middle of the week, and then like about a 40 to 45 minute run as well. So I'm doing loads of cardio as well as steps. But yeah, and I really enjoy it. And I eat the same foods that I eat when I'm in a calorie deficit. I just have bigger portions, obviously. But no, it's been really showing up in my training and my energy and stuff. And yeah, I'm really, really enjoying it. So I really hope now I am okay by Sunday, because I've been looking forward to this half marathon. I'm really confident about getting the sub 2. But look, if I'm still feeling like shit by the weekend, I will just have to admit defeat. And look, I will have to do a 25 kilometer run next weekend, and hopefully then, if I can't get it at this half marathon, I will get it during that run as well. I was actually supposed to do a run today, but just because of the head cold, I'm just going to hold off a bit, because I get a lot of clients when I do check-ins with them, one-on-one check-ins. They won't tell me till their actual check-in that they were sick during the week. And I'm like, no, you need to text me when you're sick so we can put your calories back up, because you can't pour from an empty cup. If you're in a calorie deficit and you get sick, go back up to maintenance for a few days. Your body needs energy to fight infection. It does. Your body's burning up a lot of energy, and energy's filled and calories. It's burning up a lot of that to fight infection. So definitely go back up to maintenance calories. You're no use to yourself when you're running on petrol fumes and you're trying to fight infection. If anything, it's probably going to take you longer to recover. And you were just thinking to yourself, I want to get back to the gym. I want to do this. I want to do that. I'm afraid the scale's going to stall. Well, you're sick. Like, there's nothing you can do. You just have to wait for it to subside. But going to the gym in that state and still under eating is actually going to make it worse. It's going to prolong recovery. You know, your immune system, it needs to be in a strong place to be able to fight infection and get rid of it ASAP, you know. And you can't do that when you're running on petrol fumes and then going to the gym and doing cardio and workouts and stuff. So that's why I opted to take a rest day today, just in case. And that kind of leads me on to what I was talking about at the start of the podcast, about trusting the process. So when you're sick, you know, you have to wait for it to subside, but you just want to be like, no, I want to go to the gym, I want to get my cardio done, I want to do this, I want to do that, I still want to stay in a calorie deficit, because you think it's going to set you back by a week or two. Yeah, it probably will, but you know, you're probably going to get yourself better that little bit more quicker if you go back up to maintenance for a few days. You're at maintenance calories, you're not going to gain body fat, okay? You're using it, and the food's going to be put to good use. It's going to be used to fight infection or whatever that you do have. So trust the process. It's part of it. I've been sick plenty of times in a calorie deficit. And to be honest, I don't be complaining when my coach tells me to go back up to maintenance either. I could do with the extra food sometimes. But I'm just going to use this as an example. So I know I say trust the process, okay? But when you're not seeing results, especially in the beginning, okay, you have to wait a long time to start seeing results, but it's very hard to motivate yourself in the beginning when you're not seeing an instant reward. That's why people opt to drink alcohol when they're in a calorie deficit at the very start, or opt for a takeaway, or opt to go back to old habits, because you've nothing to lose. You're like, what, a week or two into your deficit? There's no changes in the mirror. There's no changes on the scale. Ah, sure, what's another takeaway? But trust the process. Every step counts. Every, you know, minute on the Stairmaster, every calorie that you don't eat when you could have overeaten, it all compounds over time. It's just because you're not seeing results immediately. Like last night, I was really, really busy yesterday and I just couldn't get all my steps in. Now, I do have a walking pad there, but I didn't even have time to jump on the walking pad. And the day got ahead of me and it was like 20 to 9 by the time I actually got to sit down. And I was like, right, I've zero steps done today. Well, I had about 1,000 steps done. And I was like, I don't want to like walk on this walking pad for an hour and a half. Like, it's late in the evening, I'm tired. And I was going to crawl into bed and I was like, Enya, your gym is open till 10 o'clock. 20 minutes of low intensity cardio is about the equivalent of 10,000 steps, okay? Like, you'd burn the same amount of calories in 90 minutes of walking that you would 20 minutes on a Stairmaster at low intensity. So I said, fuck it. Put on my shoes. As much as I wanted to stay in bed, I was like, no, Enya, because I did an 18 kilometer run on Sunday and I didn't do any steps that day purely because I ran 18 kilometers. Like, I think I did enough activity that day. I'm not going to let it seep into Monday now and not do any steps either. So went up to the gym, did my 20 minutes, was chuffed. But that's just a prime example of even people like myself who coach people who, you know, I've done a fitness photo shoot twice. I'm training for a marathon. I've done 2 half marathons. And, you know, sometimes people might look at me and think, oh, like, I'd love to have home motivation. Like, no, I have days where I don't want to do jack shit either. But I know it has to be done, because if it's not, I start slipping back into bad habits. And I didn't come this far to bounce back to old habits. Now, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm going to have some off days, e.g. I could be sick or life just gets in the way. But that's some of the time. And I always say it matters what we do most of the time. But it's very, very rare I will voluntarily just knock about and do a walk. Okay, like, that used to be me. And a body in motion stays in motion. So that's one of the things I'll touch on as well over the next few minutes, is that when you actually start seeing results, it becomes addictive, and that's what keeps you up. And that's how you start trusting the process, because, oh, like, look how far I've come and now I can actually see a change in the mirror. But that didn't happen at the start, and that's why you need to put the work in at the start. That's the most important time to put in the work in. So doing it when you're not seeing results is exactly when you need to keep doing it, because you're only going to prolong it if you keep skipping workouts, all right? Again, at the start of any calorie deficit or changing your lifestyle, you're not going to see instant change. Like, you're not. And when you do eventually see change, you get that rush of endorphins, you get that rush of dopamine. That's long-term gratification. But opting to skip a workout and sit on the couch and eat a large bag of Doritos and a share-sized Cadbury's bar, that's going to give you instant gratification. That's going to give you a big hit of dopamine. You're going to feel warm and fuzzy. But in the long term, it's not going to serve you. It's not going to benefit you. But biting your tongue, getting up at 8 o'clock in the evening, go to the gym to do 40 minutes of low intensity cardio because you couldn't get your steps in. No, you're not going to see an instant change in the mirror. But doing shit like that over weeks at a time or months, that's all going to compound when you could have sat in your hall and watched the TV instead, okay? That's why it's called trusting the process. Like when I started dieting, like going back a few years ago when, well, I would say a good few years ago before I ever even hired a PT, like I used to expect instant results. I would stand on the scale the next day and you would see an instant drop, but I didn't know at the time. That's literally just water. You're controlling your carb intake now. That's why there's a big drop in the scale. And most of the time, people who've never tracked their calories or have a clue about macronutrients, they're living on a diet of carbohydrates. Like they don't know what it's like to feel full, which is one of the biggest complaints I get when people do start like eating more protein. I'm too full. I can't eat all this food. And I'm like, congratulations. This is what it feels like to properly fuel yourself. You're giving yourself a, you know, a balanced plate at each meal. That's what it feels like. Because I was someone who used to live on biscuits, cakes, bowls of cornflakes in the morning, sandwiches and stuff. I had feck all protein in my diet. And it's very easy to overconsume carbohydrates because they're not as filling as protein. Protein's very filling. So can you imagine when you go from eating zero protein to all of a sudden eating 100 grams of it? You know, no wonder you're going to feel full. But I used to always expect instant results. And when I didn't get that, I would just give up because I was brainwashed, you know, reading magazines, seeing these, well, at the time we would call them fitness influencers. They used to bring out the DVDs, those fitness DVDs, and you're looking at them and they're like, you know, 4 week shred and it's like 30 day shred and stuff. And it's not a 30 day shred. These people have been, you know, they go away into hiding for 6 months and get absolutely lean, like, but they advertise it to you like they're after doing it in 4 weeks, and that's the selling point. They're trying to sell a lie to people. You know, it took me nearly 20 weeks to get lean for my photo shoot, so there's a prime example. But yeah, and then eventually when I did start educating myself, I understood, okay, this shit is going to take time. All right, I'm not going to lose 8 pounds in a week, right? And I think people seriously overestimate how long it takes to lose a pound. Like, I mean, it takes it, because it doesn't take a week to gain a pound. It could take a week to 2 weeks, you know, and then 1 week you could just overeat due to a holiday, or you could have loads of things on. You could gain 2 pounds that week. All right. So it's not, you're not going to lose it overnight. Let's just be real here. You're not going to lose it overnight because it takes time to gain body fat. It's going to take time to lose it. So I had to accept that. I eventually learned that it's going to take time. And it wasn't until I started working with my coach online I realized how long this shit actually takes. And it does test your patience at the start, especially when you're so used to taking shortcuts all the time, like by cutting out food groups or, you know, copying your friend's diet where she didn't eat bread for 8 weeks and stuff. Like, no, I actually started using an approach now where it doesn't affect my life that much. I just cut down on portions. But what I started doing was, when the scale wouldn't drop after a week, I would weigh myself daily. Oh, there's no change. Instead of giving up, I'd be like, no, this change is going to come. I'm changing my lifestyle here, and fat loss is a byproduct of that. I'm not going to stop just because the scale's not dropping. And sometimes it might be a matter of, you know, if you were tracking my recent calorie deficit, like it nearly took 5 weeks for my scale to drop. And it was just a matter of changing calories or increasing cardio. It wasn't anything to do with me like going off plan all the time. It takes trial and error. It takes time, you know, good things take time. And I had to learn that in a very slow way, and my patience was tested. It was frustrating, but I trusted the process, and I'm delighted I did, because look at where I am all these years later. So when the scale wouldn't drop, I'd be like, or if I miss a cardio session, right, I'm still going to stick to my calorie deficit. I'm still going to stick to my steps. I'm still going to go to the gym today. I just don't have time for cardio. If I didn't reach 10,000 steps and only reached 5,000, well, I still got 5,000. So I'm still going to go to the gym. I'm still going to stay in my calorie deficit. I stopped trying to be perfect, because I used to be the person that, oh, if I missed a cardio session, I'll just throw the towel in for the day. I'll start back Monday. No. Every step you take, every calorie you don't overeat, every minute on the Stairmaster, even if it's 15 minutes rather than your 20 minute usual, it counts. It's better than doing nothing. It all compounds over time, okay? Doing something is better than doing nothing just because you can't be 100%. It all compounds. It really does. And that's what I learned, to just stop giving up every time I couldn't be perfect. I trusted the process, because something is better than nothing. And what I would say is I'm reading off a list of notes. But when you actually do start seeing a drop on the scale, it becomes addictive. You're like, oh, like this actually is working now. And then, you know, you're looking in the mirror one day and you're thinking, I'm so glad I trusted the process. I'm so glad that, you know, when you think about the sacrifices that you've made, and at that moment in time, no, you didn't get an instant reward for like turning down a takeaway or not going out on the drink. You don't see that till months down the line, okay? Because I'm going to use my fitness photo shoot as an example. Like, I was looking at people before I booked that photo shoot, right? I was going on to like the photographer's page and my coach's page, and I was like, right, I want to have that look. And now I know two bodies are completely different. You can't look identical to someone, but I was like, right, that's the leanness I'm aiming for. That they're the arms I want to have. And I just accepted from day one, because I had learned from doing multiple calorie deficits in the past with my coach, right, this shit's going to take time. And yeah, this is going to take about 20 weeks. That's what my coach told me. And yeah, if we want to get in this shape, it's going to take us 20 weeks. I wasn't even looking in the mirror for the first few weeks, not even the first 8 weeks, thinking, where's the change? This is a long ass slog. It's going to be 5 months, and I'm probably not going to start seeing real results till about 3 or 4 months in. So I just had to accept that. So I just put my head down, did the work, made the sacrifices, understood that down the line, these sacrifices were going to come back and reward me. Okay, so I mentioned before in previous podcasts, I think I had 3 tortured birthday parties out of all my friends during my fitness photo shoot prep, and I had to go to them and not drink. I couldn't even eat the finger food. And, you know, at the time I was biting my tongue and I was frustrated. I was like, oh, why did I sign up for this? But I have to say, like, I was so happy that I made those sacrifices, because I'll never forget that feeling on the day of my photo shoot. I'll really never forget it. It was so worth it. It really was. And, you know, I remember I was getting body dysmorphia closer to the fitness photo shoot, thinking, oh, you know, I'm not lean enough. My coach is gaslighting me. He's telling me that I'm doing great when I know I'm not. I know he's thinking I'm not lean enough as well. And my own friend is in the middle of a fitness photo shoot. It's actually next week. And I'm going with him up to Belfast, up to Stephen Black Photography Studio. It'd be great to go up there now just as a spectator rather than someone who's doing a photo shoot. But I was talking to him and he's like, oh, I just don't think I'm lean enough. And I was like, no, I thought that exactly. But you know what? I look back at pictures of myself like 2 weeks out of my photo shoot and I was too fucking lean. I was like, holy shit. Like, I actually didn't like how I looked. Now, when I got filled with carbs 2 or 3 days before my actual fitness photo shoot, I looked a lot fuller and I looked a little bit better. But the fact that I thought I wasn't lean enough and that I was still carrying body fat, like, you're never going to be satisfied. And I mentioned this in a podcast only there a few weeks ago. Your standard, when you see yourself in a new light at a weight you've never seen yourself before, that will be our new standard. So if you gain weight after that, you'll be thinking, oh my God, I'm getting fat. And it's not. Like, you've just never seen yourself in that light before. So, but I look at myself now and I'm 60 kg. I was 52 kg, I think, doing my photo shoot. And now I look at the body I have and I'm like, I'm stronger. I can run for longer distances. I remember, like, my pace wasn't that good when I was in a calorie deficit and I was gassing out halfway through my last half marathon. And now I can run 18 kilometers comfortably. Like, this is the body now that I want to try maintain, you know. And who knows, maybe I will do another fitness photo shoot in a few years time. I don't know. I'm not saying I will, but to be that lean again, I remember how weak I was and it just wasn't worth it. I enjoy the body that I have now. I really do. This is a strong body. But and I'm going to use running now for an example, okay, about trusting the process when it came to running. I was shit in January when I started running. I put up a picture there on my story when I ran my first 5K. I think it was 2020 November, right? And I tracked it. I had a Fitbit. I was looking at a screenshot that I in my gallery and I was like, Jesus, that was like 5 years ago, like nearly 5 years ago. And my pace was like 6:30, 7:20. Like, I was so unfit back then and I just hated running. So when I started in January, I was shit. And I was like, how am I going to do this marathon? Like, I'm shocking. And I would have to kick myself out the door because I knew I was shit at the time. But you know what I used to say to myself? Because I hated it so much, like, every run felt like a chore because obviously I thought I was shit at it. But I really had to push myself out the door because I kept reminding myself, Enya, if you get into the habit of skipping runs, you're not going to be able to run a half marathon. You're not going to be able to run 10K, never mind a full marathon. Like, go out, no matter how much you feel, in a few months' time, like, it's gonna pay you back. You're going to reap the rewards. Like, going out on those, I even explained this to new clients. Like, no one was an expert in their job in week one. Like, trust the process. So even though I was shit back then, I knew if I kept it up and kept consistent, judging by my photo shoot, you know, prep as an example, my fitness photo shoot prep, I knew how easy it was at the start because I was used to a calorie deficit, but then it got more grim as we got deeper into the calorie deficit in territory that I just had never been in before. Like, you know, how low the calories were, how much cardio I was doing. Like, I'd never done that much cardio, 90 minutes of cardio a day. And like, I'm just going to apply that now to the running. Like, I'd never ran more than 5 kilometers. So when I had to run 7 kilometers, I was like, oh my God, like, this is such a massive achievement. Like, I've never ran anything longer than 5K. Like, I was chuffed with myself. I really was. Like, I was actually terrified to run 7K because I didn't know how I was going to feel. And now I'm like doing my 2.5 marathon this weekend. Like, I've ran 3 18-kilometer runs in the last like 3-4 weeks, you know, as if it was nothing. Like, and that's because I trusted the process, and that's because I put the work in at the start, even when I was shit. Even if you're shit at your diet at the start, just keep getting back up. Don't stop. Like, don't leave it till Monday. If you have a hiccup on Thursday, no, get back up on Friday, okay? It all adds up. It all counts. Because remember, it matters what we do most of the time, not some of the time. So I kept it up with the running. You know, my first half marathon, I wasn't in a calorie deficit. I was very impressed, actually, by how I did. I was aiming for a sub 2, but now I understand how fucking hard it is to like keep up a 5:20, a 5:40 pace for 21 kilometers, especially when it's your first half marathon and you've only been training for 3 months. That was tough. So I was 4 minutes over the 2 hours, which is still really good in my opinion, but I just hadn't got the engine for it back then. I was fading at 16 kilometers. I was up at a 6:20, 6:30 pace. And you know, thank God I had Lauren Scully with me to pace me. If she's listening, Lauren. She did her best with me, but I was like, at 16 kilometers, like, I don't have the stamina in me anymore. Now I'm running 18 kilometers at like 5:30, 5:40, when at 16 kilometers back in March I was doing a 6:40 pace. So from consistency and trusting the process and putting in the work, even on days I didn't feel like it, it's come back to reward me now. Because obviously, yeah, I was in a calorie deficit, me pace took a bit of a dip, my energy took a bit of a dip, but now because I'm eating more, like, I can see how much my engine has improved. Like, that's the dopamine that I love. That's what I chase. See this instant gratification, staying on the couch and having a bottle of wine instead of going to the gym, or ordering a takeaway instead of getting up and just making a high protein dinner that's actually going to be in line with your goal and actually going to help you like stay in your calorie deficit. This, like, I know it's taken time. Like, it's taken 9 months for me to get to this place with running, and it's a place I never thought I'd get because I honestly didn't enjoy running at the start. But to get to this place, honestly, like, I'm so glad I trusted the process. And this feeling, this dopamine that I'm getting, like, this buzz, it trumps any short-term gratification, any instant gratification that you get from the bottle of wine or the bag of Doritos or the takeaway. And I know it takes time, but there's just no feeling like it. And that's exactly how I felt the day I did my fitness photo shoot. You know, it took me 20 weeks to get to that spot, and I was looking at myself in the mirror, and it's honestly... And I know the marathon is going to be up there, one of the happiest days of my life, because I trusted the process. I got myself here. And that's how I felt looking in the mirror on the day of my fitness photo shoot prep. I was looking at someone in the mirror and I thought, this was a body I could only ever dream of. And I done this. I got myself here. Like, that feeling, that euphoric feeling, honestly, if they sold it in a bottle, it's just, it beats any takeaway, any bottle of wine. Like, it's, I can't explain it. And you'll never get to experience that if you keep giving up at the first hurdle, if you keep giving up at the first hiccup, you have to trust the process. Just know that good things are coming. Good things take time. What's worth having doesn't come easy. The bottle of wine's easy. The large bag of Doritos instead of making your own meal is easy. That's easy. We're programmed to crave easy. Our brain is wired to crave easiness because you've spent your whole life choosing the easy option. So is it any wonder when things get a bit tough, you're like, fuck this? No, like, be comfortable with getting uncomfortable, because that's how you start rewiring your brain. Don't listen to the voice. Let your body do the opposite to what your mind is telling you. Don't want to go to the gym? Right, I'm getting up, put my runners on. Oh, but this bed is so warm. Put your coat on. Oh, I want to stay in bed and watch Netflix. No, get the keys for the car. Before you know it, you're in the car. And yeah, it might take you 10 minutes to get out of the car and go to the gym when you're in the car park, but you're there and you're doing it. Trust the process. Trust me. It feels like shit, but that's where the character is built, in the process. The day I do the marathon, that's the victory lap. The hard work is done. The marathon's actually the victory lap. But when you look back at how far you've come in 9 months, well, it'll be 10 months by the time I'm doing the marathon, I'm like, I got myself here. I've earned my place here at this start line. Look at the progress I've made from when I couldn't even run 5K, and now I'm running 42K. Like, that doesn't happen overnight. That's taken me nearly 10 months to get to that place. But the feeling I get now when I'm running 18 kilometers, honestly, like I'm just so glad I never gave up in January. I'm so glad I didn't listen to that voice. As much as I wanted to fight it, like, you have to be really good at resisting that negative inner critic. Like, you really do. It's going to be always there, and it's going to get a little bit weaker the more that you resist, or the less that you resist. Or is that the right? Yeah, the more that you resist that inner critic, it will get a whole lot better. Now, look, don't get me wrong. I love a glass of wine from time to time. I love going out for food with my friends, like once or twice a week. When I'm not in a calorie deficit, obviously I pull back a bit, but I love doing things like that. What's seldom is wonderful. And you know, it's nice to eat nice food from time to time, and it's not a bad thing. It's not. You just have to learn, you know, and I know I keep harping on about it, but it matters what we do most of the time. Most of the time, yeah, I'm in the gym, I'm doing my workouts, I'm doing my runs, I'm doing my steps, and I'm sticking to decent food, you know, 90% of the time. But the other 10% of the time, yeah, I'm having a few glasses of wine every second or third weekend. I'm going out for lunch with a friend or out the weekend with my other half, and I'm having a meal. Like, that's normal, that's human. But I know my limits now, and I know that my attitude has changed because I put myself in situations where my patience was tested and I stuck it out long enough to see the payoff. But if you're someone who's never stuck it out, oh, and I've tried everything and I'm still not seeing results, well, that's why you keep giving up, because you're not giving it long enough, or you're using an approach that's not sustainable. Like, I put up a post here recently about if you're taking time off the gym, I put it on my Instagram page, or taking time off a diet, whether it's due to a holiday or personal issues or you've been sick, ease yourself back into it, because everybody wants to run in at 200% because they want results ASAP, but it doesn't work, okay? It's like starting off a marathon at, you know, sprinting. You're going to burn out very, very quickly. I know it sounds punny, but slow and steady wins the race. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint, but I put myself in a situation for the first time many years ago where I said, you know what, I don't care how long this is going to take, I'm going to stick it out. And when I did fall at the fourth hurdle, I would get back up the next day, or even at the next meal. You're always one meal away from getting back on track. It's trust in the process. But see, it's very easy to give up when you've never actually stayed around long enough to see the payoff, because you don't know what you have to lose. Now, I know exactly what's going to happen if I start skipping runs. I know exactly what's going to happen if I start skipping my cardio or my steps, or, you know, the gym, or I start going out 2, 3, 4 times a week eating out. I know what's going to happen. Slowly but surely, that scale will start to climb back up. And look, I know I was away on holiday, and I keep mentioning that all the time, but January to May, and yeah, the scale crept back up and I got rid of that 5 kg that I gained. But, you know, I was living my life. I allowed myself that bit of time off. I was still going to the gym. I was still doing my steps. I was just over eating a little bit more than usual, and that's what happened. But look, I made memories, and it wasn't out of spite, it was because I wanted to have a good time. But I know exactly what happens when I don't trust the process. But I've been in so many situations now where I have trusted the process. I have to prove to back it up. And yeah, you wait long enough, you know what's going to happen at the end of this. You're going to be delighted with life. And I applied it to the running. I applied it to my last calorie deficit and the calorie deficit before that, and my fitness photo shoot prep, because I have the proof to back it up. What happens when you wait around long enough and you trust the process? You're not seeing instant changes in the mirror straight away. No, that comes with time. You're putting in the work now to get the rewards later. That's the way this shit works, okay? You choosing the easy option all the time, you're just pushing the goalposts further and further away. You're just prolonging your results, because I know how it feels, and yet I've nothing to lose. I don't see any changes in the mirror. What's another takeaway? What's another bottle of wine? No, like, you have to have that staring talk with yourself. If I keep giving into temptation all the time, I'm never going to get where I want to be. I have to be disciplined with myself. I have to be strict with myself, because otherwise, if I don't change, nothing's going to change. So I know this was probably another little pep talk, but please don't give up, all right? The results are coming. You just need to be really, really patient, right? There's no magic pill. Of course, you could take a shortcut if you wanted to, but that's not going to last either. Good things take time. Stop being greedy. You didn't get out of shape overnight, and you're not going to get in shape overnight, all right? Trust the process. Please look at me as a shining example. I was shit at running in January. Now look at me, all right? I was shit at diets a few years ago. Hired a coach, finally just said, right, I don't care how long this is going to take, I'm going to stick it out. I want to change my lifestyle anyway, and fat loss is going to be a byproduct of this. I'm just someone who walks now, daily. I'm just someone who goes to the gym now daily. I'm not just someone who goes on a walk because I have a holiday coming up in 8 weeks. I'm not just going to keep walking for 8 weeks and then I'm going to stop. No, I'm going to walk every day, whether it's 5,000 steps, whether it's 3,000. No, that's just who I am now. I'm going to go to the gym 2, 3, 4 times a week. Some weeks I'll only be able to go twice. Some weeks I can go 4 times. I'm going to be someone now who eats protein with every meal, not because it's going to help me drop body fat, but because that's just who I am now. Don't do it for the results. Do it for your health, all right? Do it for longevity. Do it for how you're going to feel. Do it for your energy. Do it for productivity. And fat loss is a byproduct of that. Obviously, you're not going to be in a deficit all year round. Just because you're eating well doesn't mean you're going to drop body fat. Like me, for example, right now, I'm eating for performance now. So I'm eating a lot of carbs, but it doesn't mean that I'm eating cakes and biscuits all the time. I'm eating just more pasta. I'm eating more oats. I'm eating more rice. And yes, I probably have a slice of banana bread every day, if not every second day. But I'm still, you know, tracking my food and hitting my macros and stuff. But yeah, just please, please trust the process. I hope this podcast has helped to give you that kick up the arse you needed. If you're feeling a bit defeated, if you feel like, oh, I fell off the wagon the weekend. No. All right, it's 2 days. If you've been doing a calorie deficit for 6 weeks, that's 2 days of 6 weeks, right? It's in the grand scheme of things, it's a drop in the ocean. But obviously, the more that you keep repeating that, the longer it's going to take. However, so what? Keep going. If you do 3, 4, 5 weekends in a row, yeah, it's probably going to take you longer than you anticipated because you weren't anticipating going out every weekend for the last 5 weeks. But keep doing it until it just becomes who you are. Right? All right. Yeah, you literally just have to rewire your brain because it's going to feel alien to you at the start. It's going to feel like a chore at the start because you're not getting instant rewards and you're used to getting instant rewards. You're used to just opting for the couch. You're used to opting for the sheer size bag of Doritos and the sheer size Cadbury bar. You're used to the takeaway 2, 3 times a week. So that's going to feel like shit. Everybody feels it. That's going to feel tough for the first few weeks because you're trying to rewire your brain. But if you keep giving up at the fourth hurdle every time, giving back into short-term gratification, you're never going to be able to rewire your brain. It's just going to be like, stop, start, stop, start. So just, if it happens, if you have a hiccup, get back up the next day and try again. You have another hiccup, get back up the next day and try again till eventually it just becomes who you are. All right. Hope you have a lovely evening. I have actually a guest on for the next episode. So hopefully I'm not jinxing myself here. I'm scheduled to interview him tomorrow. But it's going to be a really, really good episode. This guy he's just so inspiring. 10 Ironmans, 10 days, 7 marathons over 7 continents. Like, this is the type of person I'm going to be talking to. And he's Irish and he's from Dublin. So yeah, hopefully it goes ahead. But do try tune in. It'll be a very good podcast in terms of like mental resilience, mental fortitude. And as far as I know, this guy started running when he was 52. So there's hope for us all. But yeah, hopefully you tune in. Hopefully it happens. And I will speak to you next week.